Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and be sure to tell us where you're from. And if you'd be so kind to jump over to iTunes and rate and review the show. That would help us out. Mm-hmm. And this is episode 60.
Yes.
60.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow, I know. It's nuts. Well, we were surprised when we hit a year.
I know.
Now every time, every number that's bigger than 52, we're like, wow, we're still doing this.
Wait till we hit 100.
Oh, that's the next one. Yep. Big party over here.
Yep.
100th episode. We talk about a lot of different stuff in this. A lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. I need to get the words together, start talking in the microphone. We talk about a lot of different
things.
That's what the word.
We can talk about stuff. It's all right.
A lot of different stuff. That doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make sense? Anyway, the things we talk about, we link to in the show notes. That's what I'm trying to get at. And so you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab, and all the links are there to everything we talk about, including the interview that you did.
Yes.
Tell me about the interview you have for this episode.
So I have a friend in the neighborhood who is a seamstress, and she makes these really cool like retro dresses. So her name is Mariah Crownover, and so I decided to talk to her about measuring and a little bit about, you know, what could we learn from somebody who sews.
That is great. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's listen.
Okay.
Crownover. I have a small business, very small, called Crown Made Clothing, and I have an Etsy shop, Crown Made Clothing. You can look that up. I currently have wrap skirts in there, but I also do custom dresses and skirts or whatever you want.
So I had this bright idea to come talk to you about measuring, because I know as a seamstress you need to know how to measure, especially if you're doing custom work. So first of all, can we measure ourselves, or is it better to have a friend?
Yes. For regular sewing, the main measurements are bust, waist, hips, and you can definitely do that yourself. When you get into some of the more complicated measurements, you probably do need a friend for back, or, I mean, there are ways to do it, and I actually did take a Craftsy class for that, where they demonstrate how to do that. But mostly, I just do bust, waist, and hips, and I can describe how to do that, Okay. The best way to do it. Yeah. So for your bust, you want to look at the fullest part of your bust, and you need to make sure and wear whatever undergarments you're going to wear with what you're going to make. Okay. And you just wrap it around your bust at the fullest part, and that's your measurement. And for your waist, the best way to describe this is if you bend to the side, wearing just your undergarments, bend to the side, and wherever there's a crease on the side is where your natural waist is, and you measure right there. Okay. And it's probably going to be higher up than a lot of people think that it is. Mm-hmm. And on your hips, it's the fullest part of your behind. So I have to demonstrate here. Wherever the fullest part of your booty, okay, you just bring the tape up around there to the front, okay, and that's your hip.
So, like, my fullest part of my booty is right down low. Is that correct? That's the place that I want to measure?
Well, yeah, you want to make sure you have enough room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, in general, just a regular sewing dressmaker's measuring tape or anything else that we need?
The standard loose kind of flimsy tape is the best. Mm-hmm.
So, one of the questions that we get a lot is about ease. Is that a term that you work with? You're sighing.
Yes. Most standard sewing patterns, and I don't know about knitting, but sewing patterns, the complaint is there's too much ease. Okay. So you need to probably measure your pattern against your own measurements and see how much ease you really want. I know I like my things to be really fitted, so I have to end up going down quite a few sizes. Mm. In sewing patterns, you're not going to, I don't know how it is with knitting, but you're not going to be the same size that you are in clothing, mm-hmm, from the store. In fact, I'm quite a few bigger sizes in patterns that you have to go by your measurements for sure. Okay. But I always have to end up measuring my patterns because there's way too much ease. Yeah.
I think I just experienced that in something I was trying to sew. So. I think a lot of times, one thing that I have done in the past is measure a sweater that I liked the fit of that I already had, and then turn around and go off those measurements instead.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Then that would incorporate whatever ease you wanted,
right,
as well.
So another question we had come in, it was finding a good dress form. Do you have sources that you like, or do you have recommendations on finding one that's best?
I just have the adjustable dress form. I think I got it at Joann's, and I've used it. I've switched the measurements around multiple times. It's been perfect. It hasn't broken. I'm happy with it. It's about $100.
Yeah.
So I know I've read about making your own dress forms, but all of the experiences I've read on that is it is really a pain. Okay. I mean, go for it if you want to. I know there's YouTube videos that explain how to do it. I think you do need a friend for that if you wanted to do that. It's not something I'm brave enough to try. I like the adjustable. It works just fine.
Yeah.
And you can pad. You get an adjustable and you can pad it. Put your own undergarments, and there are definitely ways to like fill it out to make it exactly like your form.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a great suggestion right there, is to pad it. Mm-hmm. Well, great. This is really helpful for us, our basic measurements and what we can learn from sewing. So thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was great, Casey.
Yeah, I really like her tip on stuffing your mannequin to fit.
That is exactly what I have to do. I've talked about it on the podcast before. My mannequin is perfect, except my boobs are bigger.
Yeah.
So I just need to fix that.
Like, dress it like you would be wearing something underneath your sweater or whatever. It makes a lot of sense.
It really does make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is sponsored by Vogue Knitting Live. The ultimate knitting event is returning to Seattle November 3rd through 5th, 2017. This one-of-a-kind knitting event brings Vogue Knitting Magazine to life with beginner to master level hand knitting classes featuring some of the biggest names in knitting, including Stephen West, Andrea Mowry, Bristol Ivy, and Andrea Rangel, and more. This Woolfield weekend...
Woolfield.
Thank you, Casey. This Woolfield weekend will also feature high-end shopping experience, knit couture fashion shows on Saturday, a knit art gallery, and much more to inspire every knitter. That sounds really good.
I know. They do like a thing where they throw yarn from the ceiling at you, so that sounds really fun.
What? I don't know that sounds like the highlight.
You can catch yarn from the sky.
Okay. Oh, I see. It's like you get to keep the yarn if you catch it.
Yes.
It's like throwing
a
bouquet
t-shirt cannon at a basketball game.
I was thinking catching the bouquet at a wedding.
Yes.
Okay, let me finish this copy here. As listeners of the Very Pink Knits podcast, Vogue Knitting Live is giving you 10% off your registration of packages or classes to Vogue Knitting Live. Use code VERYPINK, one word, during checkout. Can't make it to Seattle? Vogue Knitting Live will be in New York City January 12th to 14th, 2018. Visit VogueKnittingLive.com for additional information and to sign up, and we will put that link in the show notes as well. So let's start magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers.
Okay. First question. Help me, Casey and Stacy.
Oh no.
I've been furiously knitting mittens since approximately 5,000 below zero.
That is really cold.
Yeah. And it seems very strange right now because it's summer, but as we've said, our questions come in as they come in.
That's right.
We're still catching up. I've been recurring issue in adding thumbs. When adding a thumb, I am left with disgustingly stretched stitches. That's hard to say.
It is.
At the corners or sides between the held live stitches and the additional cast on from the mitt. Is there some kind of trick to picking up stitches in those locations and not leaving those holes in the gusset? I have been enjoying the podcast immensely. Thank you for all your help. Hannah from Isanti, Minnesota. Our breakfast tacos are probably questionable at best.
Everybody's got to chime in. Let us know.
Don't think Minnesota would have good breakfast.
Probably not. Not a lot of competition. Okay. So Hannah wants to know why she's having disgustingly stretched stitches at the corners or sides between the held live stitches and the additional cast on from the mitt. This is totally normal. This is anytime you change direction in your knitting or you, and Well, anytime you change direction in your knitting, you're likely to have holes or places where the things are stretched out a little bit. And I'll tell you what, this happens to me too. I have the disgustingly stretched stitches as well. And you have an end right there, and you can weave in that end to close up those gaps. And I released a video not too long ago called Closing Gaps in Raglan Underarms, and it absolutely applies to this situation as well, because you can use that end to duplicate stitch over the loose stitches and tighten them up, and they will look as good as new. So instead of being frustrated with the fact that it's happening, just know that it's really easy to fix, and just kind of expect it to happen and just expect to fix it, and that's how you're going to weave in the end. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah. All right. Hi, Stacey.
I want a breakfast taco now.
I know. That sounds good. Thank you for your videos and podcasts. I enjoy them both and frequently refer to them. I'm able to relate to the lady with cats in episode 25, as I have three. I use plastic buckets with lids, the kind you can buy bird food in, for my knitting and crochet projects. Everything in one place, cat and weatherproof. My question relates to button bands and waviness. I recently completed a cardigan for my granddaughter, which fits her nicely, but the button band goes out of shape when worn, despite lying flat and straight when the cardigan is blocked. The band was ribbed horizontally to the front. Where am I going wrong? Why does this happen? Do I need to make bigger size or use bigger needles? Thanks for your help. Linda from Langford, Biggleswade?
Biggleswade. I want to move to a place called Biggleswade.
Bedfordshire, UK.
Hi, Linda.
I'm sure it sounds better in a UK accent, too.
It probably does.
Biggleswade.
She's probably laughing at the way we're saying Biggleswade, Bedfordshire. anyway, I love that name. Okay. She is having problems with the button bands on sweaters turning wavy. And first of all, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. It can just be that the yarn doesn't have a lot of springiness. And so when it's worn and the buttons are actually going through the button band and it gets pulled out a little bit, it's not snapping back. You can plan for it a little bit and use a smaller needle size so that when it does get stretched out, it's not a terrible thing. But here's what I'm really gonna, this is my best advice here. When you finish a sweater, back the button band with ribbon. What's that kind of ribbon called?
I don't know.
No ribbon stretches. I mean, that's the point, right?
Yeah, but there's something that's specifically for button bands, right?
I think if you go to the fabric store and say, what do I put on the back of a button band? They'll say, this one.
I need to ask Mariah.
can you text her, please, and ask her so we'll have the right answer? But you can buy a really cute ribbon that has designs on it and stuff and actually improves the look of the sweater, and back the button band with this ribbon, and then you cut the buttonholes through the ribbon, you know, where they match up with the knitting, and you can use sewing thread and just whip stitch that closed around. You'll have a much sturdier button band. It'll stay nicer looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Stacey.
Biggleswade. I love it. Keep going.
I was going to say that. That's it. You should name your dog that.
I could change his name. He's not a year old yet.
That might be another name for my cat. Here I am. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I look forward to your videos and podcasts every week. It's like being with friends. Thank you. I have a problem with which I'm hoping you can help. My daughter has asked me to make her a very broad infinity scarf with really thick yarn. I have trouble both knitting and crocheting with really big needles, size greater than 15, and hook size greater than L. The crochet hooks hurt my thumb and middle finger, and the knitting needles are hard for me to hold, and it's hard to hold the tension in yarn. Do you have any tips for how to make this project easier and more enjoyable? I've promised to reward myself when it's done. I'll make something enjoyable with some really nice yarn, but even that incentive doesn't seem to help. Fern from Montgomery, Alabama.
I totally feel your pain here, Fern. Okay, I'm going to let you talk about this, Casey, because you actually just borrowed my size 19 needles.
And I hated it. I had some like old ribbon yarn that I wanted to just get rid of or use up.
And you made a cute thing.
I made a cute thing, and that was what was keeping me going, because I was like, because they're metal and it was really slippery and they were giant. And I was like, but it goes really fast.
That's the only upside.
Yeah.
Okay, there are people who love it.
Yeah.
There are people who love knitting, you know, like an Afghan on size 19 needles or whatever. To me, the only benefit is that you can knit, you know, 5 square feet of fabric in a half an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an exaggeration, but something like that, is that it's over quickly. I think it's uncomfortable in my hands.
I do too.
You're constantly having to readjust because each stitch is so big that you have to keep things sliding, you know, way more often than you would in a finer gauge. So you would say, if you had to pick your favorite weight of yarn to knit with, what is that?
Probably worsted.
Yeah, worsted or DK is what I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Fern is asking for advice here. And I don't know, I've been knitting for almost 45 years.
Wow.
And I don't like knitting big gauge. And I don't have any advice for how to hate it less.
I mean, I guess just make sure you have nice needles.
Well, you were using Addies.
I know.
And you still didn't like it.
Well, because it was so slippery. But if they had been...
Oh, you would have liked it better
if they were bamboo. It would have been
with that ribbon yarn.
Because that ribbon yarn was really slippery. But my top is cute. So
it was worth it.
You have to push through the pain.
You have to push through the pain. And actually, I think a big thing that might help Fern is if she is experiencing discomfort, you have to put it down and knit something else for a while, or don't knit because it's heavy when you're knitting in a big gauge and using giant needles.
And it feels weird when you switch back to something small.
Oh my gosh, it totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fern.
We don't have anything great to say because we're both super down on huge. Well, okay. I want to say one thing, though. There is, you know, the knitting needles that are like bigger than my wrists.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fun.
It is?
That yeah, seems I like have I those. Would like that. Well, it's just, it's kind of fun because it's so weird.
Yeah.
And it's not like knitting with size 19 needles, because when you're knitting with size 19 needles, you're trying to kind of knit your normal way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're knitting with these needles that are, you know, like 2 feet long and as big around as my wrist, you have to totally readjust. Barely knitting anymore. You're just doing this series of exercises to get the needle in and wrapped and pulled through. I did a stitch. And of course, projects go really quickly. I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah. That could be like a team effort.
You could. It would be easier if you had one person on each needle.
Maybe that's what I should make my kids do.
You could. Summer activity. There you go.
All right. Hello, ladies. Great job on the podcast. I look forward to them each week. My question deals with needle sizes. If I have a given amount of yarn and want to make a scarf as long as possible with that set amount of yarn, should I use a larger needle, resulting in longer stitches, but using more yarn per stitch, or should I use a smaller needle, resulting in shorter stitches, but using less yarn per stitch? Is there a linear relationship between needle size and project length for a set amount of yarn, or is there a sweet spot needle size for maximum project length? Also, what is the best stitch for maximizing length in a scarf? Stockinette? Thank you, and keep up the great work. Stacy, you need to visit New Orleans. I can hook you up with a great place to stay. Tanya K.
Hi, Tanya. Thank you for the invitation to New Orleans. I've never been. It's on my bucket list. I can't believe I've never been.
I know. I can't either.
But I think I've mentioned I've never been to New Orleans or Vegas.
Oh.
I've been all over the world, and I've never been to New Orleans or Vegas.
You don't need to go to Vegas. Sorry, Vegas
listeners.
Isn't
it worth it to go?
I guess. It's horrifying and amazing at the same time.
That's it. But I think the thing for me about Vegas is I'm sensitive to sound.
Yeah, it's like, and the last time I was there, I was like, I can't believe they built a Eiffel Tower in the middle of a hotel. And then at the same time, I'm like, I can't believe they built an Eiffel Tower. Like, it's amazing and horrifying.
Yeah, I got to see that.
Yeah.
I will. I'll just wear earplugs or something.
Yeah.
But New Orleans is not as noisy. And you're encouraging me to go to New Orleans,
I think New Orleans is neat. It's kind of like an old European city in some ways. And I just love the history, and the food is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you eat your way through the city. It's awesome.
Well, Tanya's invited me.
All right. You should show up.
Okay. I should answer her question, though. Okay.
This is like the last question, episode where we had our minds blown.
Yeah. You know what?
By the math.
Yeah. Okay. But this one I'm going to answer a little bit differently. Because you, well, first of all, the stitch that's going to give you the stitch to maximize length, that's what I'm trying to say, is going to be stockinette. Garter stitch kind of folds up on itself and makes a much thicker fabric. Stockinette is flat, but it's not a great scarf. Stockinette will just curl up if it's in a scarf form. So I would recommend the one-row scarf if you're looking for a good a good scarf pattern that's going to give you a lot of scarf for the amount of yarn that you have. I'll link to that in the show notes. But as far as getting the most scarf out of the least amount of yarn, I am going to think that your best bet is the knitting with air. Like use the biggest needles with the
laciest
yarn. That's going to be the most extreme. 100 grams of lace weight yarn knit mm-hmm. on like size 10 needles. Mm-hmm. You could cover a house with that much yarn. You get a lot out of it. So then I think what it comes down to is, you know, do you like the fabric that you're creating? What is your intent? What look are you going for with this scarf that you're making? And the sweet spot that you asked about is always going to be printed on the yarn label. The yarn company is going to have a needle size they recommend with that yarn. And you can just look at the yarn label and see what that is. Yeah. Thank you for the invitation to New Orleans, Tanya.
I'll be there.
She didn't invite you.
I know. That's
right. I'm sure the invitation. She seems like a nice lady who would let you in.
Hi, Stacey, Casey. Love the show and your videos. I really enjoyed the segment with the professor talking about project and process knitting. My question has been an issue for me for a while. I've been told that to get correct gauge for knitting in the round, you either need to knit in the round a swatch or do this wonky knitting not in the round by pulling the working yarn up from the bottom and it acts as if it's in the round. I know you know what I'm talking about, even with the weird explanation. What's your best advice? Thanks, Kathy from... Oh, sorry. Our questions kind of merged together. So that's Kathy.
I accidentally pasted the question in twice. I'm sorry. That was confusing for you. Kathy.
Oh, she's from Matthews, North Carolina. I thought Matthews was the next person.
Oh, you're right.
So there you go.
Okay. Thank you for figuring that out because I'm looking at it too and I... Never mind. It's a visual thing here that I'm not getting. Kathy, yes, I have a video on swatching. I think it's called Stellar Swatching, and I do cover swatching in the round. But ultimately, the big picture, like becoming a better knitter out of this advice that I give, is test it out for yourself. Knit two swatches in the same yarn, same needle size, one flat, one in the round, and see how different your gauge is. Find this out about yourself as a knitter, and you'll have that information. And you'll know that if you are knitting a flat swatch, that you have, you know, about this much difference between flat and knitting in the round when just on average for yourself. It's a good thing to know. But I do have a video on how to how to replicate what in a flat piece, what ends up being knitted in the round. Or there are other things that you can do, like if you're making a sweater, you can always start with a small part of the sweater, like the sleeve or something, and knit that as your gauge swatch, and then you don't have to throw it away because it's actually part of the sleeve when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have advice for Kathy?
I like that idea.
Nope.
Okay.
But it works.
Well, we are ready to wrap up this baby episode number 60.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey, if people want to find you online, what do they do?
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Okay. And we will certainly link to that in the show notes. And if you want to find me, there is the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, all my social media buttons are there. So that is all that we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.